Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to your place. Last week we started a series on the signs of the end times. Tonight is part two of that series. If you missed part one, you can go to the Your Place show page and listen from the archives. You can even download it or any of the archive shows for free to any smart device. Due to how these lessons are laid out, the shows will be shorter, as many people have mentioned they wish the shows were not so long. But at the end of the show, you can still make a comment or ask a question. All you have to do is push the number one on your phone, and you'll be identified by the last four digits of your phone number when we place you on the air. And now, let's have a listen.
Chapter 3, Russia. Russian President Vladimir Putin stepped onto the swaying deck of a miniature submarine. He squeezed inside the capsule, and the craft descended into the Black Sea. The purpose of Putin's excursion, people were told, was to view the wreckage of an ancient ship. But it soon became clear that archaeology was the last thing on Putin's mind. The craft leveled out and moved toward the Crimean coastal city of Sevastopol. It surfaced near a waiting yacht, which sped the Russian president to the seaport and deposited him on Crimean soil. It was August 2015, less than 18 months after Russia seized the Crimean Peninsula from its parent nation, Ukraine. At the time of the takeover, Ukraine had been making overtures to the West with the possibility of joining the European Union. To prevent such a move, which would impede Putin's ambitions for a reunited Soviet bloc, he had not only annexed Crimea, but also infiltrated eastern Ukraine with Russian soldiers. His purpose was to stir that nation, already reeling from political turmoil, into chaos. It was his way of saying, "Crimea is Russian territory. I don't need an invitation. I can come here anytime I want, in any way that I want." Moments after Putin landed in Sevastopol, a BBC reporter questioned the legitimacy of the takeover. Putin replied, "The future of Crimea was determined by the people who live on this land. They voted to be united with Russia. That's it." Given Putin's history, this aggressive takeover and hard-nosed attitude is not surprising. He began his career as a Russian KGB officer in 1975, when Russia, the ruling nation of the USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, was a major world power second only to the United States. Russia was feared around the globe for its massive nuclear armaments and threats of communist takeover. Putin retired from the KGB in 1991 and entered politics, rising to power under Boris Yeltsin's administration. When Yeltsin resigned in December of 1999, Putin became acting president. He was officially elected in March of 2000 and subsequently held the offices of president from 2000 to 2008 and prime minister from 2008 to 2012, before being elected president again in 2012 and re-elected to another term in 2018. At the midpoint of Putin's rise to power, President Ronald Reagan's policies brought down the Soviet-Russian threat without firing a shot. The fall of communism and the disintegration of the USSR must have been a bitter blow to the ambitious young politician. Many believe that from that moment on, Putin has been driven by his determination to restore Russia to its former glory. The Russian Awakening. Many of us remember the Cold War between Russia and the United States, which lasted from 1947 to 1991. During that period, the possibility of nuclear war loomed over the world like a dark cloud. But that fear was moderated by U.S. military might and strong Western alliances. Now, in the absence of American will and the collapse of order in the Middle East, what will keep the world's old nemesis, Russia, from rising again? It appears that Putin realizes this is his moment of opportunity, and he's taking advantage of it. Under his leadership, Russia has become increasingly aggressive on the world stage and increasingly dangerous. In March of 2018, a former Russian spy, Sergei Skripal, was found on a park bench in Great Britain. His 33-year-old daughter was found next to him. Both had been poisoned by a nerve agent, and both were hospitalized for weeks before being moved to a secure location. British police later connected this attack with a similar poisoning involving a woman named Dawn Sturgis and her partner, Charlie Rowley. Ms. Sturgis did not survive that attack, having been exposed to a nerve agent after handling a contaminated perfume dispenser. After an extensive investigation, British intelligence identified two men as the primary suspects in both attacks, both thought to be members of the GRU, which is Russia's military intelligence service. British Prime Minister Theresa May said the attacks were almost certainly directed by senior members of the Russian government. Putin obviously wants to be recognized as a world leader of a world power. Where will his ambitions lead? As much as we would like to think Putin's manipulations merely reflect the antics of an overreaching dreamer, we have good reason to believe the Russian threat is real. In fact, we have evidence that at some point, Russia will ignite a world war like none other. Russia's aggressive moves today cast a long shadow into a future described by the prophet Ezekiel. The Russian aggression. Approximately 2,500 years ago, Ezekiel predicted Russia's return to power in the latter days. In chapters 38 and 39 of his prophecy, he described the invasion of Israel by 10 entities, including Russia and a coalition. Prominently in these scriptures. In Ezekiel's list of 10 names, the third name, Rosh, identifies the nation ruled by the leader of the coalition that will attack Israel. We have at least two strong reasons for believing that Rosh and Russia are the same. First, it is not hard to see the phonetic similarity between Rosh and Russia. Dr. John F. Walvoord says, in the study of how ancient words came into modern language, it is quite common for the consonants to remain the same and the vowels to be changed. In the word Rosh, if the vowel O is changed to U, it becomes the root of the modern word Russia. Second, the Bible refers to the location of Israel as the middle of the earth. Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her in the midst of the nations and the countries all around her. Ezekiel 5:5. So whenever we find geographical directions in prophecy, they are given in relation to the position of Israel. The prophet Daniel described the ruler who would lead an attack against Israel in the latter days as the king of the north. Daniel 11:5-35. Ezekiel's prophecy says the invading armies will come to Israel from the far north, Ezekiel 38:6-15. So only one country occupies a geographical position in the far north in relation to Israel. That nation is Russia, whose landmass stretches from the Baltic to the Bering Seas. The Russian Alliance. Now that we have identified Ezekiel's Rosh as today's Russia, we will turn to the other nine names listed in his prophecy, names that identify the leader and the nations forming the alliance that will attack Israel. The commander of the alliance. The first two verses of Ezekiel 38 read, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal." Unlike the other names in this prophecy, Gog refers not to a nation, but to a person. The word Gog means high or supreme, and some scholars believe that Gog is not a personal name, but a title, like the title president or pharaoh. Gog is the leader of the armies that will invade Israel. And God commands Gog to be a guard or commander for these nations. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. Verse 7. The countries in the alliance. Here's what we know about the countries named in this future coalition who will attack the nation of Israel. Magog. According to Genesis 10:2, Magog was the second son of Japheth and the grandson of Noah. Most scholars identify the land that Magog founded as the domain of the Scythians, who lived in the mountains around the Black and Caspian Seas. I like to identify this area as the homeland of the Stan countries, which are all states of the former Soviet Empire, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, and perhaps Afghanistan. According to Mark Hitchcock, these nations today have one thing in common, Islam. And within their borders, they have a combined population of 60 million. Meshach and Tubal. Meshach and Tubal were the fifth and sixth sons of Japheth and therefore grandsons of Noah, Genesis 10:2. The descendants of these men established cities or territories bearing their names. C.I. Schofield identified Meshach as Moscow and Tubal as Tobolsk. Other scholars identify them as territories in modern Turkey. Persia. According to Ezekiel 38:5, Persia will also participate in Russia's invasion of Israel. Persia changed its name to Iran in 1935 and then in 1979 changed it again to the Islamic Republic of Iran. Iran and Russia will be the leading forces in this final attempt to wipe Israel off the map. Today, Iran is wielding its malevolent influence not only in the Middle East, but in the West as well. Ethiopia. This is the first of two North African nations named as part of this coalition. Ethiopia was founded by Cush, the grandson of Noah, through his second son Ham. When Ezekiel made this prophecy, Ethiopia was the land south of Egypt. Today that region is the modern country of Sudan. Along with Iran, Sudan is one of Israel's fiercest enemies. Libya. Libya is the land west of Egypt, the only country on Ezekiel's list that retains its ancient name. Like Ethiopia, it was founded by a son of Ham, in this case Put, Genesis 10:6. Today's Libya, along with Iran and Syria, is another of Russia's friends among the Islamic states. Modern Libya was ruled for 41 years by notorious dictator Muammar Gaddafi. Even now, Gaddafi's legacy continues to haunt Libya, which is still racked by civil war and street violence as militant Islamists vie for control. What's more, the Libyan government has been renewing ties with Russia in hopes of purchasing military armaments. Gomer. Gomer was the first son of Japheth and the grandson of Noah, Genesis 10:2. Because of the similarity between the words, many have taught that Gomer was the founder of the nation that is now Germany. Believing that Gomer represents modern Germany, John Phillips wrote of the death and chaos that nation has inflicted in the past. A united and greater Germany, Gomer and all his bands, had come within a hair of winning World War II. It had taken all the combined might of the British Empire, the Soviet Union, and the United States to fight Germany to a standstill. What if a united and anti-Semitic Germany were to seek its future fortunes while allied to an anti-Semitic Russia? Togarma. Togarma was the third son of Gomer, son of Japheth, Genesis 10:3, and the great-grandson of Noah. Ezekiel located this nation for us, the house of Togarma from the far north and all its troops, Ezekiel 38:6. Some commentators identify Togarma with Turkey, noting a possible etymological connection between the name Togarma and the names Turkey and Turkestan. These are the nations that will form a coalition and march against Israel, setting the stage for this gigantic world war focused on the Holy Land. Though the northern armies of Russia and Turkey will lead the coalition, they will be joined by Iran from the east, Sudan and Libya from the south, and possibly Germany from the west, in the form of a revived European coalition of nations. To darken the picture for Israel, Ezekiel added that the nation will have many peoples on its side. Verse 9. The Russian attack. After listing the Russian allies, Ezekiel described the invasion of Israel, chapter 38, verses 7 through 17. As you listen to this section of Scripture, remember that this is a prophecy against Russia and the invading nations. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, verse 3. The term you refers to Russia, and the terms they and them refer to Israel in this section. Why will Russia and its allies attack Israel? What is the purpose of this invasion? Ezekiel gave us three answers that spring from the evil hearts of Israel's attackers. There is a fourth answer that springs from the heart of God himself. That will be revealed later in this chapter. Let me try that again. First, the Russians will go to seize Israel's land. I will go up against the land of unwalled villages to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, verses 11 and 12. Second, the purpose will be to steal Israel's wealth, to take plunder and take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take the great plunder, verses 12 and 13. Third, the great army from the north will seek to slaughter Israel's people. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud, to cover the land, verse 16. We have already noted the hatred of Israel, a hatred that has existed since Abraham exiled Ishmael, Genesis 21, 8-19. That hatred can only be satisfied by the annihilation of the Jewish nation. Where will the invasion occur? Ezekiel identified the country to be invaded as the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel. Ezekiel 38, verse 8. At least five times in chapter 38, Ezekiel affirmed that Israel will be the target of the Russian coalition. This fact alone makes Ezekiel's prophecy amazing, because Israel is one of the smallest nations on earth. Russia is nearly 800 times larger than Israel. Yet Israel is at the center of one of the world's final global wars, the target of a massive coalition led by a world superpower. When will the invasion occur? Ezekiel prophesied that three events must take place before Russia invades Israel. Two of these events have already occurred in history. The third is yet to be fulfilled. First, Israel must be present in its own land. Ezekiel tells us repeatedly that the dispersed people of Israel will be regathered to their original homeland, twice in 38 verse 8, and then in 38, 12, 39, 25, 27, and 28. He also recorded this promise of God in a previous chapter. I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. 36, 24. Obviously, Ezekiel's prophecy could not have been fulfilled prior to 1948, for the Jews had not yet regathered to their ancient land. Ezekiel added one more item concerning Israel's occupation of its land before the Russian invasion. He told us that Gog, the coalition leader, gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. Chapter 38, verse 8. Not only will the Jews return to their homeland, but they will also occupy the mountains of Israel. Mark Hitchcock explains how this prophecy has been fulfilled. Before the Six-Day War, the mountains of Israel were in the hands of the Jordanian Arabs, with the exception of a small strip of West Jerusalem. Only since that war have the mountains of Israel been in Israel. Ezekiel 36 and 37, the chapters preceding the description of the Russian invasion, predict the regathering of the nation of Israel, which has already occurred. Ezekiel 40 to 48, the chapters that follow Ezekiel's description of the invasion, is about the millennium, which will be the time of Israel's spiritual rebirth. The invasion of Gog and Magog will take place between the national and spiritual rebirths of Israel. Next, Israel must be prosperous in its land. Ezekiel further prophesied that when the Jewish people have returned to their homeland, God will bless them beyond anything they had previously known. I will make you inhabited as in former times, and do better for you than at your beginnings. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. The reestablished Israel will become extremely wealthy, and the envy of the hostile nations surrounding it. Today, Israel has the third most NASDAQ-listed companies in the world, just after the U.S. and China. It has earned the moniker of Startup Nation, mostly because it has the largest number of startups per capita in the world. Israel is also home to 18 billionaires and more than 105,000 millionaires. The prosperity of today's Israel is beyond question. This is the second of the three conditions that will exist before the Russian invasion is in place. The third condition of Israel that will be in place before the Russian invasion is peace. Ezekiel told us that the northern coalition will descend on a people whose peace is so secure that they do not maintain weapons or take defensive measures. Gog boasts, "I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates." Ezekiel 38:11. This is one condition that has not yet occurred. There has never been a time in Israel's existence when it has not been concerned about its defense. Israel has always been surrounded by enemies. Even today, Israel is threatened from all sides by extremely hostile neighbors many times its size. It has already fought numerous wars in its brief modern history, and Israel's close neighbor, Iran, is eager to annihilate it. Israel is not at peace or anywhere close to it. That means the Russian invasion is not imminent. A time is coming, however, when Israel will be at peace in its land. The prophet Daniel told us how this peace will come about. He, the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Daniel 9:27. When the Antichrist appears, one of his first projects will be to settle the Arab-Israeli dispute. On behalf of the European Coalition of Nations, he will make a covenant with the Jews to guarantee their safety. This covenant, which will be contracted for a period of 7 years, verse 27, will cause Israel to let down its guard and turn its attention toward prosperity. Israel will, for the first time, be a nation of unwalled villages and therefore a ripe target for Russian aggression. Thus, we have the time of the Russian invasion of Israel pinpointed. It will come after Israel returns to its homeland, after it has become highly prosperous, and after the implementation of the 7-year peace treaty with the Antichrist. The Russian annihilation. Israel has always been outnumbered in its wars, but in this instance it will be so grossly mismatched that there will be no human way for the nation to survive. Here is Ezekiel's description of the coalition's advance. "Then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many peoples with you. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud, to cover the land, As a cloud covers the land with its shadow, so the massive armies of the Russian alliance will cover Israel. But when all hope for Israel's survival is gone, God will intervene. And it will come to pass at the same time, when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Verses 18 and 19. Remember that when we were outlining the three reasons for Russia's attack on Israel, I alluded to a fourth reason that overrides the others? That reason is to set the stage for God's punishment of Russia and its allies for their history of rebellion against him. Then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. 39 verse 7. God will use the evil tendencies of these allied nations to goad them into attacking Israel so he can execute his judgment against them for their history of human oppression. Ezekiel described four calamities that will descend on the invading armies when God intervenes to protect his people. Monumental convulsions. The first calamity Ezekiel prophesied was a great earthquake in the land of Israel, 38:19. This earthquake will be like none ever seen on earth. It will register completely off the Richter scale. Towering buildings and even mountains will come crashing down. Though Israel will be the epicenter, every living creature on the earth will feel the effects of this colossal quake. Military confusion. The movement, wreckage, and clouds of dust and smoke from the quake will generate mass confusion among the invading armies. Verse 21. Dr. Walvoord explains, in the pandemonium, communication between the invading armies will break down, and they will begin attacking each other. This event will be similar to one from Israel's history, but on an exponentially larger scale. See 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 22 through 25. God will protect his people in the future, as he has done in the past. Major contagion. Third weapon against the Russian coalition will be an epidemic breakout of disease. I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. Unburied dead bodies will lie everywhere, causing a malignant plague to infect the land. Thousands more of the invaders will die. Multiple calamities. A deluge of fire and brimstone will also fall on Russia and its allies, just as God rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 22. These God-inflicted calamities will extend to the Magog homelands as well. I will send fire on Magog and those who live in security in the coastlands. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 39, verse 6. Those who remain in Magog will not escape punishment. The Russian aftermath. God's supernatural intervention to protect Israel and bring judgment on the Russian coalition will leave all of Israel's fields, mountains, plains, gullies, and lakes strewn and piled with the invaders' bodies. It will be a grisly testament to the ignoble end of those who defy God. The disposal of these corpses can be summed up in these words: birds, beasts, burning, and burials. Just as Ezekiel 38 details the destruction of the northern armies, chapter 39 describes their disposal. The birds and the beasts. Ezekiel recorded God's invitation to all the birds of the world and the beasts of the field to come to Israel and devour the thousands of bodies that will be scattered across the land. God calls it a sacrificial meal, for the scavengers that will do his bidding and clean up the land for his people. Chapter 39, verses 17 to 20. The burnings. Not only will the failed Russian invasion leave masses of bodies, but it will also leave the coalition's military equipment littering the landscape. How will these now useless weapons be discarded? Ezekiel says, "Those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and bucklers, the bows and arrows, the javelins and spears, and they will make fires with them for 7 years." Verse 9. The burials. The vultures and scavengers God will invite to devour the bodies of the fallen invaders will leave a residue of bones and other inedible parts. It will be necessary for the Israelis to bury what the scavengers leave. God says, "I will give Gog a burial place there in Israel. For 7 months, the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land." The fact that it will take 7 months to bury all of the dead gives us an indication of the gigantic size of this invading army. Only when the burials are complete can the land be declared ceremonially clean again. Numbers 19:11-22. The Russian application. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, we find a compelling prophecy about the ultimate destruction of Russia, a nation that has long been antagonistic toward God and disruptive to the world. Today, we can see the historical character of that nation asserting itself again as it seeks to expand its power and disruptive influence, especially in the Middle East. It is merely a matter of time before Russia stretches its claws toward the rich and free nation of Israel. But God has promised Israel a glorious future, and as these two prophetic chapters show, He will keep that promise in a spectacular and satisfying way. The whole world will marvel at how God brings down a powerful enemy while preserving His people. When this happens, the world will stand in awe of the name and power of God. "Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord." Ezekiel 38:23. I can understand why people shudder at today's headlines. The daily news shows an alarming disintegration of world order and security. We see growing disorder now and chaos ahead.
Well, that's the end of this segment we had tonight. I like how this teacher is breaking it down to the different countries, the different portions of the world, sharing his insights on it, history to it, building up to things now, and then using the scripture to go along with this descriptive narrative of what it is he has to say. There is so much information to this. With us doing it this way, it'll make it easier for you to take notes. And so we just want to turn around and see what Blog Talk Mom has to say about tonight's show. There it goes, Blog Talk Mom.
Well, I do appreciate you, my wonderful son. I'm going to brag that you are my son. And Sister Starla, for bringing this out, it's refreshing, it's encouraging, it wasn't a negative thing, even though there was a lot of facts there that are amazing to be, you know, we've studied it. I'm 84, as everyone knows, and I've studied these things, but I'm finding, Wabil, that there is an awakening. God is stirring us and helping us to be watchmen. Dory, it's, you know, this is real. And it's so exciting to be focused on the power of God and how He will bring to pass everything from Daniel, Ezekiel, all the way through the Old Testament, it's a perfect pattern for us to be encouraged by, not to be frightened, but to be encouraged and to pray for the right things. I have this new little card that I put in the kitchen, pray for Israel. And, you know, this is the admonition of the Lord for us to pray for Israel. And I have so many things on my heart. I know that hopefully others would listen if they get their schedule in line. So I would like, if you would, while Bill, it would be convenient for them to say their part. I did mention to them also about the time change, and they were interested in that also. But I love my son. I love you. Love you. And my daughter-in-law, who is most beautiful, wonderful person. I just love her so much. I love everybody else too, but I'm going to brag on them. That's okay. So, Wild Bill, you take it on. Try not to block your part. Please, no one hang up. It will come on in a moment.
I was just talking away, and I was muted.
I know.
Isn't that funny?
That would be easy to do. Okay. Just repeat what you said, please.
I don't know if I can remember back that far. That's one of the great things about old age. I was telling everybody, you remind me of that commercial they used to have about noodles years ago, and the guy come out and say, I'm a nicer guy. I love everybody. And when you talk about how you love everybody, but you especially love me and Starla, and we'll take all the love we can get. One of the things, you talk about things burning on your heart. I got a friend of mine, his name is Tristan, and his family has had to deal with health issues in a manner that I've never seen no other family have to deal with. His dad died at a very young age. They were warned that whatever this gene was, it could be something that was passed on to the children, and it has been. And right now he's in the hospital. They're still doing tests. They're talking about now maybe the end of this week doing surgery on his brain. The bottom part of his brain has grown past the size it's supposed to be. It's been pressure on not just his brain, against his skull, causing him headaches and numbness and all these other things. But it's also his younger brother, when he had this, it actually caused damage to his spine because it was like pulling pressure away from the brain to the spine, the nerve stem of the spine. And so I know that God is a God of miracles. I know that Tristan has been blessed with a talent to play music and sing and minister and teach, and he's been faithful to do these things ever since he was a very small boy. So if you would add that to your prayer request, I sure would appreciate it. And also going back to what Blog Talk Mom was saying about this teacher, it is it shouldn't be scary, but because one of the things that I see, especially like listening to Blog Talk Mom, is as our perception changes based on things that have already happened, you know, if you'd have told me, I don't know how many years ago, that some of the things that are legal, like gay marriage and the legality of arguing about the life of an unborn child and the thing about prayer in schools being taken out and the things to now when you say things against anyone as far as their gender choice, then you can be prosecuted for a hate crime, for hate speech. You can be fired for jobs for causing a hostile work environment. But you can speak about Jesus, and all of a sudden everybody just wants to cut you off. Oh, you're one of them. I don't have time for that. I've heard that my whole life. You know, you can't even prove that there is a God. Just all these things, all this rhetoric and things that's going on in society. If you never could tell the difference in what was bad and good, it's not that hard to see it now because they are not hiding anything. They're coming after things of morality, things of Christianity, things of living for God, things of faith, things of holiness. in a way that I've never seen. But like Blog Talk Mom has said, there is a people that are being stirred and they're being drawn like never before. People that have been out of church for years are finding that what they've been missing all these years that they've looked for in drugs and alcohol and all kinds of lifestyles, they're now seeing that Jesus is the only way that they're going to get escape from these things in their life. It's going to be the answer to the things that they've been seeking. And as we look for the things with sign of the end times, I've also noticed that this is not just happening in the apostolic churches, but this is happening in all the churches. And I'm one of those people that believe with all my heart that if someone is truly sincere, that they will find themselves being led to the apostolic doctrine. But at that point, they're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to agree that there's more than the church I'm going to is teaching and preaching? Is there a personal accountability with God? Is there a personal relationship? Is there an actual infilling of the Holy Ghost with the speaking of another tongue? They're going to have to come to the decision whether they're going to accept those things or not. And I didn't mean to go off into all this right here, right now, because I do want anyone that's got a comment or question about some of the things we heard tonight, I do want you to have a chance to feel there's plenty of time. Just push one on your phone, and I will acknowledge you by the last four digits of your phone number. But as we were hearing this teacher talk about this, I don't know when this was put together, but right now, all we see going on with Russia is so different now than even the things he was mentioning in his book. And we have a hand that came up. Okay, see if I can do this. 2408, you're on the air.
Oh, Brother Bill, you could have kept going. I hit the one because I don't want to miss an opportunity, but at the same time, I don't want to cut you off. So if you want to continue what you were saying, please go ahead.
No, I was fine with right there where I was. I just really have been feeling a stirring, that, and I think probably you have too, because most of the people I know in church involved as ministry has. So share what you got.
Yes, sir. And so much can happen in a week or in 2 weeks, and just the way the Lord leads us and directs our and channels us into what we need to receive for certain seasons in ministry, certain things we need to study, certain things we need to teach. And I appreciate the program tonight. I have a question. Is this man that's speaking, is that Dr. David Jeremiah?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Okay, well, I thought I recognized his voice, and I do remember Sister Lively, Blog Talk Mom, had said something about him being a part of this. So I was, that this is great. This is wonderful. I appreciate his approach and his teaching. I've listened to him several times throughout different occasions. So this is really good. So what I wanted to bring out, I'm trying to find it. I've been scrolling on this Facebook trying to find it, and I can't find it. It's done gotten old now. But it was just last week. I have a neighbor that my husband and I we've become acquainted with her, and they're church-going people. I believe they're full gospel, and I had open house not this past Christmas, but last Christmas, and I invited all of my neighbors into our home. We had hot cocoa and cookies and, you know, cocoa and marshmallows, just something very light, because I wanted to we've lived here years and we know some of our neighbors, but then some have moved in rental houses, and we just didn't know everyone, so we invited them in. And so we met this couple. They have two children, and you're talking about sicknesses and disease. Both of their children have ailments. One has seizures, and another one has some type of autoimmune disease, but they're adults now and teenagers now, and they're doing really well. The Lord's touched them. But so I saw her post, and it almost tripped me up. And I have been apostolic for almost like 31, 33 years, filled with the Holy Ghost. And she made a post on here, and I just looked at that. I had to text my husband at work and show him the post that she made. And I was like, how do you respond to this? And so her post, and I cannot find it, and just to make it short, it goes along with what you were saying about the world. People are seeking answers, but then they believe what they believe. But we have to believe that somehow, if they're really hungry, God will lead them to this truth. Her post was about thieves on the cross. And, of course, we know one said, you know, this man has done nothing. Don't mock him. And Jesus said, you know, today you're going to be with me in paradise. And this post was saying, and she was saying, there was no speaking in tongues. This man didn't speak in tongues. This man didn't have anything going for him. He didn't have a Bible study. He hadn't even really repented of his sins. And all of these things, she just made this whole post about he didn't do anything. All he said was, you know, Lord, remember me. And the Lord did remember him. And I was like, wow, this trips me up. How would I answer her? How would I? And I didn't post back. I left that alone. I let the Lord. But there were several people on there kind of contradicting her and different things, and I've left it alone. And Daniel said, you know, that was because Jesus had not yet fully died himself. The blood, that blood sacrifice had not came into a finished work when he said it is finished, and the veil had not been rent in twain yet. And all of that was just moments from occurring. He's, you know, and that's how he explained it to me. And I was like, thank God, because there you have to learn how to answer. The Bible says to be wise and to give an answer to every man. But we have to realize these people have such a different approach and an opinion and a belief system. And you really, even me, I've got to get more grounded and secure in exactly how the Word of God lays it out for these people. So that when I do have the opportunity to witness and to reach her, I can say, okay, Heather, this is how the scripture really is. You know, I want to open her eyes to that. So pray for us that we can get that opportunity. I know we'll see them again here soon. She's a school teacher, and they're on spring break this week. And so I know the Lord's going to open that door for us. Thank y'all for all y'all do. This was a wonderful program tonight. I knew about Gog and Magog, but I didn't realize that perhaps it was a title, president or the power, the position. And I thought that was very, very good. It opened my eyes to look at that. I love the geology part of it. How the north and how all the nations and Israel being right in the center. I appreciate that. So this is excellent, excellent teaching tonight. Thank y'all.
Well, thank you so much for listening and calling in. You know, I sort of sometimes get some flack because I used to teach an adult Sunday school class in this church, and we had a woman that came there that was Trinitarian. And I welcomed her being able to share her insights as to what she liked, the insights this person was sharing here about, you know, the people on the cross. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And so a lot of people even the pastor told me, no, don't do that. You're giving her platform. But I felt that I wasn't giving her platform. I was giving her ability to hear in a group environment and show the other people in the class that believed what we did, what it is we actually believe. Because if you really look at the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is really not New Testament. They were still under the law. It was still under the same things that they had been going through for thousands of years. They were still, you know, had to make the sacrifice. Like you said, the blood atonement, Jesus hadn't died yet. You can't have a new will and testament until someone dies. And Jesus had to die, but not just that. But the day of Pentecost hadn't happened yet. The infilling of the Holy Ghost, the power, overcoming power, those things had not happened. And so Jesus spoke of things that were to come as much as he could, but he didn't want to confuse the people he was speaking with. So some of the things he had to be a little vague. But it's just like when Jesus prayed for the person that was sick. I think it was the blind man, and he prayed for him on the Sabbath day and healed him. And he didn't just know it was a lame man. He didn't just heal him from being lame. He said, "And your sins be forgiven," because he knew that the so-called church people of the age were watching him. Nobody really understood, including his disciples, to a point that he really was the Messiah. They understood the word Messiah, and they understood the miracles and the signs and wonders, and you know, and they understood he was saying that he was the Son of Man and he was the Son of God, but they really didn't comprehend themselves that he was the Messiah. It's not till you get to the actual New Testament of the Bible where all of a sudden you see that everything you do in word and deed, do it in the name of Jesus, where everything as far as the, you know, where Jesus, his last words to him in Luke 24, he told him, he said, go to Jerusalem until you're going to be endued with power. And he said, repentance and remission of sin is going to be preached. Well, when you get to Acts 2:38, what was preached? Repentance and remission of sin. Now, repentance was remission of sin. So don't feel lonesome on this that sometimes you like, because some people take it too far in trying to explain things to people. Instead, it's like they're taking a hammer and wanting to beat them profusely about the head and shoulders, like they're just so far below because they can't comprehend. But to understand that Jesus is God is not something that's just really clear in your carnal mind to understand. God has to show that to you. And then it's one of those things, I can't unsee it once I've seen it. But like David Jeremiah, he preaches the message of one God as good or better than any apostolic preacher I've ever heard. But then at the end, he goes, now this is not like those Jesus-only people, one God. You know, he is, you know, God the Son, and there's a person in God the Father, and there's a person in God the Holy Ghost. He took everything he just taught and threw it away because it's his carnal mind, and he hasn't really had a hungry heart to search that, to say that this could be the right way. And because I still believe with all my heart, the Bible lets us know if we seek and we knock and we ask, Jesus is going to give us the answer. We're going to find him, and he's going to open the doors for whatever it is that we need to know. So I hope I didn't say too much on that. And let's see, I still got your microphone on if you want to have a comment to that.
Oh, no, that was extremely helpful. You're right. I don't feel like I'm really alone in it. I think that I feel what God is calling us to do is to really, not you in particular, I just meant we as in people that I associate with and my family, to really, really buckle down and get more intentionally focused on Bible studies and the Word of God and how to present truth to people. I've been studying with my little girl apologetics because she's doing a Becca Academy, and they teach creation and things of that nature. But she's only six, but I want her to be able to answer. I want to be able to answer. But I'm older now, and she's young, and her mind can absorb and retain all of this information. That's probably my main problem as an adult, and I have many irons in the fire. And so retaining information is one of my, not my strong suit. So this blog on Tuesday nights is so refreshing. It's so rewarding to get uplifted and encouraged in the Word. And I love teaching. I absolutely love teaching. And I think that's what burden I'm feeling is that the fundamental teaching, just the fundamental teaching, sometimes there's a lack in that. So I appreciate this blog. And y'all have a great night. I'm going to just be quiet now and listen to the rest of you. I love you all.
Well, thank you so much for calling in and being part of the show. And Blog Talk Mom has talked several times about all the irons that you have in the fire. And it's just, I think that's part of the nature of the beast right now. It don't matter what you have to do. It seems like there's just not enough hours in the day. And it's not embarrassing to me. I've shared this several times that I came from a denominational church, and my mom taught me every Bible study and every scripture we had to memorize. And man, I had so much of the Bible I could just recite where it was and give it in detail. And I did this little thing where I would like memorize the scripture before or after so I could be unique to the other people in the church. And I took it, I love the Word of God. She taught me to love the Word of God. But even with that, there were so many things when it came to oneness, I thought that they were teaching oneness, one God in the Assembly of God Church. I'll never forget one day that they asked the question, was it Jesus or was it God? And I said, it's God. And they said, no, it's Jesus. And I said, it's the same thing. And the next thing I know, I got a pastor's wife taking me in this little separate room to myself and trying to explain me something about a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And I didn't have a clue what she was talking about. But we went to a oneness Pentecostal church, and I'm sitting in a teenage Sunday school class, and they're saying, well, we're going to give you an easy one to quote. And I said, okay. And they gave me Acts 2:38. Well, I don't think we ever read Acts in the Assembly of God church. And I sure didn't have any scriptures to memorize. And I was so embarrassed because they were going to give me an easy one. I was fired up. I'm like, man, let's get to the Beatitudes or when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, you know, the Lord's Prayer or John 3:6. Man, I was fired up, ready to go. And they said, Acts 2:38. And I didn't have a clue. So there's nothing wrong with not knowing all the answers off the cuff. But if we do it in love when we talk to people, and it's really hard to do that on social media. I like what you said about you invited some people in your neighborhood to come to your house, introduced yourself, gave them some hot chocolate and things. That is really what it is that Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to be a conduit to share of our life and what we have with other people. Because I promised you, that lady that made that post, and she's probably had some preacher coach her on that, if someone in her family gets real sick and they need something, she's going to be knocking on your door because she knows that there's something different about how you live and there's something different in your demeanor and in your life that you live. So don't let that discourage you any, and don't be embarrassed when you don't have all the answers. And there's times I tell people all the time, if I can't read the word that it says in the Bible, I have a tendency to want to just make it up how I think it should be. And really, that's sad. I should have learned the pronunciations of a lot more of the hard words to say than what I have. But it's just not the way it works. I could tell you a funny story about Starla sitting in church, and the pastor read the scripture about divers, diseases, and things. And I'm not going to do that, though, because it's getting close to bedtime, and I don't want to sleep out with the dogs tonight. So, Block Talk Mom, did you have anything else?
I love that. I'm sorry about that, but that was funny the way you did it. I really appreciate my wonderful sister, Cheryl. Her husband also teaches and preaches, and I'm delighted to ever get to hear them. Also, there were some other people that were going. Do you have any other people that want to press one? They said they wanted
nobody's
to call
got your
tonight.
Little hand raised. All they got to do is press one, and I'll see it when it pops up.
Okay. Well, one of the things that came to me, I have a whole page of notes, as each of you were speaking about this, because the Bible tells us to rightly divide the word of truth. That doesn't mean make confusion or division, but we, under the anointing through the Holy Spirit of God that was given to us, that we can have the whole armor of God, we can discern, we can seek him. That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. If it did, I would hang up and say, y'all pray for me. But if we rightly divide the word of truth, we will be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed as we rightly divide his word. That is such a beautiful, encouraging way to look at his word. And you mentioned that I studied the word, loved teaching you and draw bells, and it was just a big, big deal in my life. But when I came into it, the apostolic, and they started talking about, because I believe the Trinity, I did. And I thought, well, I really do believe this also, and I don't want to, so I just prayed. And anyway, it was so cute, I think. I hope I'm usually my jokes sometimes. I don't say them well, but I went to college, and I was in my college class, and there'd been a big deal about, you know, if you just one plus one, you got three. You know, big deal. I mean, that just doesn't take a rocket scientist. but God just sort of almost like spoke to my heart. And it's not one plus one, it's one times one. And then one times one is still one. It's one God manifested in the power that only he can be omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. I love those words. He is everywhere. He is all-knowing. He is present within us and around us when we're filled with his Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Aha, I need to work on that one. Gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. God gives us these tools, and we can use them by faith. And the way that it comes to us is by his grace. And I am so thankful that a few months ago, working through the end of the year and the first of the year, that our church worked on the Book of Psalms and Song of Solomon. No, it wasn't. It was on... But anyway, it was Solomon's teachings, right in Proverbs, I'm sorry. And that has meant so much to me because the wisdom of God. I couldn't hold up any banners and say, yeah, that's me. I could say, yeah, that's my God. And he loves me, and I'm his child. And I can learn through his word because he's the author of everything that I've read. And it just seemed like it brought me closer. Almost like the Lord just, that scripture where we're engraved in the palm of his hand, I was just right there, and he was just right, he is right there, this very moment. And we use the word in different settings that we're a watchman. Now, the watchman in the Bible, that they would have these huge walls around the cities, and there would be a person or maybe more than one, there would be the watchman that would watch all around to see if there were armies coming or some danger approaching. And this is why lessons like this, your dedication to while built through all the things that go on in your life and Sister Starless, to dedicate your watchman. You're bringing these things. You're not isolating it to a certain mindset. You're praying, working through it, focusing on it, as a watchman would. And just like tonight, I received an inspiration that I desperately needed. And I mean, I'm almost perfect, but I missed a little bit. I'm trying to be funny, you guys, and so pray for me. And again, with the scriptures in Daniel and Ezekiel, and I copied those down. I want to read back through those. For Daniel, that young man that stood for God, and he was ripped out of his homeland, tried to be manipulated into disobeying the laws of God, but he did not. And because of that, God showed him an outline all the way down to where we are. And as Brother Jeremiah brought out tonight, the things that are coming upon Israel, the fulfillments of all of these things and the miraculous things that have been invented and brought to us through Israel. And I've studied that. I'm just so encouraged by the fulfillment of the prophecies that God has brought about Israel. And so anyway, I don't want to take too much time, but Wild Bill, I really, really deeply appreciate you and Sister Cheryl coming in here with that family. She mentioned about her least little child. And I get to sit in a class on Wednesday night that her daughter is in. She's 6 years old, beginning this home with, I don't know if it was a Becca or whatever program, but it definitely teaches the Bible. And that child, when there's a question, and there's several age groups in there, she is there. I mean, she knows which way to go with it. She can follow the outline that our Sister Tammy, who is a teacher, brings out. She worships, and that is the seed coming forth from a family that loves God and has exalted the Word of God in their home and with all of their children. It's just amazing. So I'm going to try to be quiet. I'm not promising anything. But thank you again, Wild Bill, and I want to hear what you got to say.
Well, I was just thinking about how you like to be funny, and we sort of got off on the topic of one God. I remember one Sunday morning we were going to church. We were going to Assembly of God Church, and I don't know, I was probably 7 or 8, and I guess my sister was about 4, and we're driving down the road, and all of a sudden my sister cries out, "Look, Mom, there's Jesus and God." And we, Mom, almost wrecked the car trying to look to see. I guess she thought the rapture was taking place. I don't know. But then she's looking all around. The car's swerving all over the place. And it turned out it was 2 men up in the air up on a, in a bucket working on a light pole. So don't think that sometimes the things challenge you on what you think you believe sometimes, because things can sure do it. So do you remember that Blog Talk, Mom?
Do I ever? I did an immediate repentance. I wanted to be baptized and everything else right then, because it was, you know, her little voice, "Oh, Mama, look, there's Jesus and God." And I thought, oh, I'm not, I don't know if I'm ready for this one. And anyway, it was, it was precious. That was cute for you to remember that while, Bill. I enjoyed that. Thank you. Oh, Sister Cheryl texted me. She's laughing too.
Well, I got another hand that came up here. It is, I don't have my spectacles on. I think it's 8692. You're on the air.
Yep, that's right it is. And this is Pepper. And I want to tell you, I just love everything that you do for everybody. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Good to hear your voice.
But I love Sister Cheryl so much. And I used to sit between her and my Aunt Nancy there. And I learned to pray and through them, you know, and I it just comes natural now. You know, I mean, I was in church a lot, went to J&T, you know, my young life, and then been back and forth, you know how it goes. But Sister Cheryl's a very wonderful, and I want to talk about your mom for a second. You are one lucky dude. That lady is, she's awesome. She's the one who's got me to where I can actually understand the Bible. Poor thing. I have to get her to read for me, because that way I can see it and then notice it's a story. You know, it's a complete story. And I can follow along, and it's just like I'm seeing it, you know, on a film or something. And I never was really good at comprehending what I read. But she has been a very miracle in my life. I've been going to J&T again for 4 months. I've gone further than I ever have in my whole entire life. And I just want to thank all of you who's been a part of it, you know, including you yourself. Because I listen. I don't always raise my hand, because then I kind of get a little embarrassed. But I shared my testimony, I think it was last Wednesday. Was it last Wednesday, Sis Lowry?
Was it a week before?
Yeah, a week before tomorrow. And,
sure.
You know, it touched a lot of people. And a lot of people come up to me and said, you know, what you brought out is like, you know, what I needed to see and what I needed to hear. Well, it's what I needed for 56 years. And I realized, you know, I knew I was different. But hey, I'm fine. I got, God's got me, and with good prayer, you know, everybody's got me. You know, so I just want to thank you for everything that you've done, and allowing your mom on the show is pretty awesome. Her sense of humor, you know, you have to kind of wait a minute and grasp it. But I would trade her for for nothing in this world. We do Bible study. We do this little hand deal. We do the life, the what is that circle thing again? Help me,
the
flock.
Prayer flock.
Yes, that too. And
truth.
I don't know. I just stopped. Ma'am?
We do search for truth also.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
That's
search for truth.
Right.
And
yeah.
And that little book that you have, you know, that we go through it once in a while, and you read, it's got the pictures and stuff in it.
Right.
What is that of? No, I never thought I'd forget those
well,
words. Object lesson.
PowerPoint. I have the PowerPoint too.
Yeah, and we do stuff on the computer, you know, object
right.
lessons and stuff. And it is a joy to do that with her. And I'm telling you, dude, you're blessed to have somebody like that in your life. If I would have, then I might would have known the Bible better back then. But God's got a time and place for all of us, and we have to go through things in our life to come out to be in the perfect spot at the perfect time. And I praise God for waiting on me and getting my soul right with it and just blowing me off and saying, hey, you know, it's rapture time. You know? But I want to tell y'all, I appreciate everything y'all do. And I might not always comment. Sometimes might fall asleep a little early. Because I have a little medicine I have to take to help me sleep. But, you know, I said all that to say, y'all are just wonderful people. You know, and I hear a lot about you and starting off from your mom. And y'all are a pure blessing.
Well, about you talk
all
about
I
how
got.
Blessed we are with mom. Yeah.
Yep.
Even with that, though, she can tell you I was one of the honoriest kids that ever walked on two legs. And
yeah,
I probably made
said that.
I probably made just about every mistake that could be made in this walk that I've lived to get to where I'm at right now. So don't be discouraged. Be encouraged because I have seen those other paths, then I can help other people that's done the same thing. So, but you
exactly.
talk about her teaching and all the things she uses. You've not
yeah.
had a real good lesson with her unless she's used the puppets. Because I don't know how she does
it. She has not.
It.
Yeah.
You got to have her do that.
Puppets.
My alcoholic uncle, she was teaching him something out of the Bible with that. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
He got to where he wasn't talking to mom anymore. He was talking to the puppet.
To the puppet.
And listening so, like, just locked in on what the puppets were saying and everything. You just forget it's a puppet. She just,
yeah.
she has so
yeah.
much talents and skills in her ministry. It's not even funny. So, she is an amazing person.
I can sit in the door and watch her. Yeah, I sit in the door and watch her. In the middle room, she's got her little puppets and stuff in there. And, she'll see one. She'll pick it up and she'll love on it. Put her hand in it. She said, and she'll hold it up to her ear. And she said, what? And she'll hold it back up to her ear, you know. And it just talk with it. And it is hilarious. I love it. That's another thing we need to start doing.
Yeah, I want to say something there, okay?
Okay.
All right.
In recovery class several years ago, there was a young man that was, he'd really been through a lot, and he was listening. He had to come as court ordered, but he was not participating or opening up or anything. So I have this puppet, and I had been teaching on how God, you know, they were getting out of jail and prison and how God signs our pardon. You know, he does it because of he's paid the price, and he sealed us with his word and the Holy Ghost. And he's delivered us from all of these things that have us
there
bound.
There you go. Go for it.
So I pressed that little button on that little And it's a little rock. He rocks back and forth, this little puppet. And I'm signed, sealed, and delivered. That guy got up. He came forward, gave his heart to God. I mean, it works. I thank you for mentioning that, Sister Pepper. Mm-hmm. She is such an absolute. And I'll say something, and I'll, you know, probably talk too long. And she could say it in just a few words, and I think, oh, yeah, that's what I want to say. No, that's just, this is fun.
But I love every one of y'all, and I'm not going to take up any more time in case there's somebody waiting.
All right, well, thank you for calling in.
Oh, yes, sir. Hopefully one day I might get to meet you.
Oh, yeah. I had to come in here before long because Mom's got a bunch of stuff she needs me to help her clean out, she keeps saying. So she's holding my feet to the fire to make me hurry up and get down there since I'm retired now. So, but thank you again for calling in. And thank you for
your problem.
Thank you for your good report.
Yes, sir.
One thing I do want to share with everybody is official. We're going to change our time from 9 o'clock at night to 8 o'clock at night, and we're going to continue on with this series all the way through till we finish with it, and I hope that you guys are enjoying it. And Blog Talk Mom, did you have anything else for us sign off?
I do want to mention again about the watchmen. We are watchmen. That really pray and ask God to help that to be a personal commitment that God has made to us. We know the scripture, I believe it's Revelation 19, don't know exactly, where the Bible says that Satan, we literally come against his powers through the blood of Jesus and the words of our testimony. And just like with Sister Pepper, when she gave her testimony, there was such a presence that it's almost like revival broke out through that. And I was had an incident when I was a little kid, and as I watched, observed, and felt the beautiful move of God's Spirit to bring us through any storm we go through, Israel, all of this, it's going to be victory. It's victory in Jesus. And I love that song, Our Savior Forever. And there were so many, but with me, there was it was more like a shame, like I felt a shame, and it left. And that's what the Word of God and our testimony. It's not about just beating the devil up or knocking him around. It's about setting people free. Oh, hallelujah, with the faith that comes through the grace of God being used to wipe our slate clean, to make us over again. Oh, hallelujah. And I really feel his presence while Bill, and thank you so much again.
Well, thank you, Blog Talk Mom. She's right. I am a lucky dude to have you as my mama, and I know that, and I appreciate you so much. And I appreciate the people who's called in and had comments tonight and shared things. And I think we all grow from that. I think in understanding how that we all go through process and we go through different seasons, and we can't predict in God's time when these things are going to happen or how they're going to happen, because we can't even predict God's total will. We just have to be submissive to it and have faith that those things are going to work for our good according to his purpose. So we're coming up on the end of the time for tonight. I want to thank everybody. Pray that God blesses you. We'll be back with part 3 next week at 8 o'clock at your place. So everyone have a good night. God bless.